Gospels to the book of John, chapter 11. This is probably the most famous story of all the ones we're going to do. Maybe the most famous story about Jesus in the Bible. It has entered into cultural literacy. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to know the story of Lazarus, the man who came back from the dead. You will find that scattered all throughout our world. References. If you see a TV show called Lazarus, you're going to have some idea probably of the premise just based on the name. So I'm going to read the story of Lazarus. It goes from John chapter 11, verse 1 to the end of verse 44. So it's a little long, again, like last week. So get comfortable. You're welcome to read along with me. I mean, that's what I do when someone's reading. I find that helpful. But you're also welcome to just close your eyes. I've told you that one of the things we want to do is notice the details of the story and put ourselves into the story. If it helps you to just close your eyes and sit back, if there's nobody sitting in front of you, put your feet up on the chair there. Get yourself into the story. Feel it, hear it, see it. Be part of what's going on. So this is John chapter 11, 1 down to the end of verse 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there were trying to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 days of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person stumbles at night, when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you what you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher's here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who'd been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Well, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So the first few verses of this story kind of set us up. If you looked back, Jesus had been in Jerusalem for the Passover. They'd tried to stone him. He's left and gone back north. And we don't know how far, whether he's gone all the way back up to Capernaum or not, but he's out of Judea. He's gone north away from the from that lower area of Judaism in Judea, gone back up towards Galilee where he's from. And we're told about this guy, this woman Mary, her sister Martha, their brother Lazarus. They've never been mentioned in the book before, but John seems to expect that we know him. You know, John's writing like 20 years after Matthew, Mark, and Luke all wrote. I mean, he often seems to expect that you've read one of the other books. He's filling things in. So he tells us about this family. Lazarus is sick. And so the sisters do what we've seen so many people in the Gospels do. They send somebody to Jesus. Like, "Jesus, come help." I mean, we've seen Jesus heal. If you think of all the stories we've looked at this spring, we've seen him heal so many times. We've seen him heal by being there with people. We've seen him heal by issuing commands. We've seen him do all sorts of stuff. They send and they're like, "Hey, Lord, your friend is sick. Our brother is sick." And when Jesus hears this in verse 4, he says two things. He says, "The sickness will not end in death." So at the end of the story, Lazarus won't be dead. And two, this is for God's glory, so God's son may be glorified. Now, when you hear glory in this story, what I want you to think about, because that's kind of an esoteric word, think about center of attention. This is happening, Jesus says, so that through me, God is the center of attention. This story's happening so everyone will be paying attention to me. Now, of those two, somebody you love gets healed and Jesus gets the center of attention, which is more important to you? Because, I mean, if I'm honest, it's probably like 80-20 healing over Jesus' glory. Like, if someone I care about is sick, if I put myself in the story and Lazarus is my brother Scott, right? He's sick and dying, right? Not just a cold, sick and possibly, he does eventually die. What matters to me most is that he be healed. And okay, great. Jesus gets the glory. Jesus becomes the center of attention. Fine. But I think if we're honest, for us, what matters most is the healing. And what we see in this story is that what matters most to God is the glory. What matters most to God is that everyone sees Jesus, that their attention is on Jesus. They're paying attention to him. Because if you're not paying attention to Jesus, you're gonna be in trouble. You think about how many problems, how many tragedies occur because you're not looking where you're supposed to be looking. Sandy, our church administrator, got T-boned a while ago. Praise God, everybody's okay, except for her car, which is no more. So we have bid it adieu. What did the other driver say, do you think, when just ran straight into Sandy in an intersection? "I only looked away for a moment." Yeah, exactly. My attention should have been here, but I looked away for a moment. How many problems in life happen because we don't have the right thing at the center of our attention? Jesus needs to be at the center of our attention, and that is way more important to him than healing somebody right off the bat. He could have issued the command. We've seen him do it. We've seen him say to people miles and miles away, "Fine, he's well." And he is. That moment he's healed. Jesus could have healed him, but he does not. And it even goes on in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus does not answer Mary and Martha's prayer. Why? Because he loves them. Now, folks, when you ask God for something and he doesn't do it, do you feel loved? Because I don't. And yet John tells us right here at the beginning of the story, he does not heal Lazarus right away. He doesn't go. He doesn't answer their prayer because he loves them. Now, hang on to that. That's going to be important as we go through the story. So the messengers show up, say, hey, Lazarus, your buddy, he's sick, might even die. And Jesus says, he's not going to die. Don't worry. This is about God's glory. Lazarus will not be dead at the end of the story. And then they just do whatever for the next 2 days. They go back to their life. 2 days later, Jesus comes back to the disciples and says, okay, it's time to go. We're going back to Judea. And they're like, last time we were there, they tried to kill us. I don't think we need to go back there. And I love the interchange in verses 8 through 14. I often feel like one of the disciples. I will readily admit that. They're like, Jesus, that's a bad idea. They're going to stone us. And Jesus says, are there not 12 hours of daylight? If you walk during the day, you won't stumble. It's when you walk at night that you have no light. And I just imagine a sea of blank faces looking up at him and a couple guys going, what's he talking about? And then maybe one of them goes, I get it. You're saying we should travel at night because then they can't see us to stone us. Good plan, Jesus. So verse 11, he goes on, he says to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up. And his disciples say, you don't need to wake him up. People wake up on their own. That's always what happens. Verse 14, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. We go from 12 hours of daylight to Lazarus is sleeping to Lazarus is dead. And listen to this, verse 15. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Jesus just said he's glad that someone is dead because his disciples are going to believe. Now, believe is one of those words that doesn't translate well, because for us in English, believe is huge. I mean, it can have so many meanings. You can say believe when what you mean is think. Like, does Tim come back the second or the third? I believe it's the second. And I get my calendar like, oh no, it's the third. Right? You're not about to have a crisis of faith because you were wrong about that. Well, I believed he was coming back the second. Oh no. Believe can just mean I think it. Like, I have no attachment to it. I just think it. And then believe can be a very strong word. Like if you said to me, hey, Pastor Jeff, you know, rumor is Tim's recruiting a new senior pastor while he's in Italy. And when he comes back, there's going to be a coup. He's going to kick you out. You're gone. No severance, nothing. Right? And I would say, I've known Tim Beard for 40 years. I don't believe that. What I mean is, that's not like, oh, I don't think that. It could be true. It might not. I mean, I know that. No, I have total confidence in Tim. I've known Tim for years. I trust Tim completely. No, like belief in our language can be so wide. In this world, believe never means think. It means confidence. It means faith, trust. So remember I told that story about the tightrope walker walking on the tightrope between the buildings, and he takes a wheelbarrow and he goes back and forth and he says to the crowd, who believes I can carry a man across this tightrope in the wheelbarrow? And everybody says, yeah, I believe. And then he says, who will get in the wheelbarrow? Right? The first one is think. Who thinks I can take this wheelbarrow across? The second one is trust, confidence, right? When you read belief, when you read faith in the Bible, it always means over here. It never means think. It never means I intellectually acknowledge that. What does water boil in at Celsius? Well, it's 100 degrees Celsius, I believe, right? I acknowledge that as truth. This is confidence, trust. It's relational. Jesus says, I am glad Lazarus is dead because this is going to help you trust me. This is going to give you confidence as my followers. And so Thomas, I mean, it sounds to me like they kind of need confidence, because Thomas does not sound like someone who thinks, oh yeah, I have total confidence in Jesus. Well, okay, let's go with him so we can die too. This doesn't sound like a guy that has a lot of faith and confidence in Jesus. Like, well, that idiot's about to get himself killed, so we might as well get killed with him. And off they go. Unsurprisingly, they do not get stoned. They come. He meets both sisters. Did you notice how different those two stories are between when he meets Martha and when he meets Mary? Martha hears, verse 20, that Jesus is coming, so she goes out to meet him. That's appropriate in her world. That's like answering the doorbell. She's here, he's coming, she's gone out to greet him. That's what you should do if you know someone's coming to visit you. You should go out and greet them and take them back. So she goes out to meet Jesus just like she should. And she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And John doesn't tell us how she said that. Was that an accusation? Was she yelling it? Was she angry? Was she crying? Is it resigned? Is it just, we don't know. John did not bother. That's just not a detail he felt was important in the story. She just says to him, if my brother had been here, he would not have died. And Jesus talks with her. He has a conversation. He says to her, your brother will rise again. She responds with an excellent theological answer. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Did you notice how Martha talks about knowing? I know that God will give you what you ask. I know he'll rise again. That's this word over here. I think that's true. I acknowledge that as reality. I know that. And if Martha were in a theology class, she'd get an A. Because she's right. Jesus could have prevented her brother from dying, and her brother will rise again in the last day. I mean, that's just classic Jewish understanding of death and the resurrection. He's dead now. He's in the place of the dead. They call it sleeping. The area is called Sheol. He sleeps the sleep of the dead in Sheol. One day at the end of time, the righteous will all be resurrected by God. Like, she gets an A on theology. And Jesus, wow, he comes after her. Like, what he says to her is emphatic, the way John writes it. She says, I know this theological truth. I know that at the end of time, God will resurrect all the righteous and my brother will be one of them. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection. And I am, in Hebrew, is God's name. Yahweh in Hebrew comes from I am. And he says to her emphatically, I am life. I am resurrection. She talks about knowing. I know this is true. I know God will do this. I know this will happen at the end of time. Jesus never talks about knowing. He talks about believing, trusting, having confidence. I am life. I am resurrection. Whoever believes me, whoever trusts me, whoever has confidence in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives trusting me, being confident in me, will never die. Martha, do you believe this? Like, he states again, he's not talking about, do you know this, Martha? Do you believe it? Do you have confidence? Do you have trust? Is this what you're banking on? Martha, would you get in the wheelbarrow? Not, do you think I can drive a wheelbarrow back and forth across the tightrope? Will you get in the wheelbarrow and trust me to drive you safely across? And Martha says back to him, yes, Lord, I believe. Remember, I told you last week, in our language, when we talk, we have past, present, and future, right? I did something, I'm doing something, I will do something. The language of the Bible has one more of those that combines past and present. It means that something was true in the past and it's still true now. So in English, I would have to say, oh, you know, my daughter went to sleep late last night and she's still sleeping. Right? I have to say the past tense thing, she went to bed late. The present tense thing, she's still sleeping. In their language, you can just say, she went to bed late last night, and it means she's still sleeping. It means whatever was true then is still true now. And so that's how Jesus talked about that woman last time, about her sins being forgiven and her being saved. He doesn't say it happened in the past. He said it happened in the past and it's still true. It will continue. That's what Martha says back to him. She doesn't say, Lord, I believed that, past tense. And she doesn't even say, Lord, I believe that right now, meaning who knows what'll be true in the future. She says it in a way that's like, yes, yes. yes, there was a point when I came to believe, to trust that you are the Son of God, and I still do. Even though my brother's dead. Even though my brother died and you didn't do anything, I believed it then and I still believe it now. It's still true. Martha needs to reaffirm her faith. She needs to reaffirm her trust in Jesus. And what happens when she says that out loud in verse 27? What happens in verse 28? After she said this, she went back. Right? There's no more conversation. Jesus doesn't tell her to go away. Like, this is what Martha needed. She needed to reaffirm. She needed to say out loud, I used to believe you were the Messiah, and I still believe you are the Messiah, even though my brother died in the middle of that. Even though between when I first believed it and now, you didn't save my brother. But it's still true. It's still true today. Martha needs to reaffirm her faith. She needs to move out from just this theological understanding and say, yes, I believed that then. I believe it now. Now, notice how different Mary is. Remember, Martha heard Jesus was coming. So she did what she's supposed to do. She got up. She went. She greeted him. Mary didn't go. Again, John doesn't tell us why. Right? Is she mad at Jesus? Is she just sobbing too much? Could she not? We don't know. For whatever reason, she doesn't go. Mary comes back, tells Martha, hey, the teacher's asking about you. The teacher's concerned about you. And when she hears that Jesus is asking about her personally, what does she do? Verse 29, she got up quickly. We're told twice she got up quickly. We're told again in 31, they notice how quickly she gets up. She goes there, and what does she do? When she sees Jesus, she falls at his feet. Are you getting the picture of the two personalities of these two sisters? Like the one sister that goes out and greets him like she's supposed to and has a conversation with him about her theology and what is she, like, does she really believe what she says she knows? And then you've got the other sister who's just at home weeping and doesn't go out and visit. And then when she hears he's asking about her, she rushes to see him. She throws herself down at his feet. And she says exactly the same words that Martha said. I mean, literally, exactly the same. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And again, we don't know if that's an accusation or she says it in tears or what. But notice, Jesus doesn't say a word to her. He talked to Martha. He had a conversation with Martha. To Mary, he said he sees her weeping. He sees the other people weeping. He's deeply moved in spirit. He's troubled. He goes to the graveside and he himself weeps. He didn't do any of that with Martha. There was no emotional words about him and Martha at all. Everything about Mary is emotional. And look at what they say in verse 36. See how he loved him. With Mary, he doesn't get into a discussion with her. He shows how much he loves them. He weeps with her. He mourns with her. He's troubled. He's moved. He's actually angry. That's what the word moved means. He's angry at death. He's there with her, sobbing at a graveside. Martha needed to reaffirm that what she said she thought, it was still true in spite of what happened. She needs to reaffirm, yes, I believe this. I'm still getting in that wheelbarrow. In spite of what happened, I will still get in that wheelbarrow if Jesus asked me to. That's not what Mary needs. Mary needs to know that she's loved. She needs to know that Jesus loves them, and that's what Jesus does for her. He doesn't have a conversation with her. He doesn't talk theology. He doesn't challenge her on her beliefs. He weeps with her. He's deeply moved and troubled. He's deeply upset. And he goes to the grave and he weeps with her over the death of her brother. Knowing, I think, full well, he's not going to be dead soon. But that's what she needs. She needs to see what these guys say. Look at how much he loved him. She needs to know that Jesus loved her. Because verse 37, some of them said, he opened the eyes of the blind. Don't you think he could have kept this guy alive? And the answer to that question is yes. Again, we've seen it over and over again. Absolutely, he could have kept Lazarus alive. He chose not to. And how many crises of faith come down to just this? I mean, honestly, I personally do not know anyone who has been raised as a Christian, been a Christian, called themselves a Christian, then bailed on it and did that because they said, you know, the dinosaurs. I just can't reconcile the age of the earth. Yes, those are issues. I don't deny the issues, but that's not what drives people away. This is what drives them away. You're God. You can do anything. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you save my brother? You could have saved my brother. Why didn't you save my brother? How many crises of faith happen? Because we say, God, if you loved me, you would, whatever it is, you would do this, you would stop this, you would not make that, you would make this. How often do we say to God, if you loved me, why would you do this? Martha needs to reaffirm that she trusts Jesus, even given to what happened. Mary needs to know that he loves her and he weeps with her and he does. And brothers and sisters, nothing in this story happens if Jesus heals Lazarus right away. If this story ends at verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, Lazarus, be healed. And at that very moment, Lazarus was healed. None of this, none of the rest of this story happens, because this story ends exactly as Jesus said it would end. Jesus said this will not end with Lazarus dead. This will end with the attention on God through me. And he walks up to the grave and he says two words to Lazarus. It's one word in his language, come out. And a dead man gets up and comes out. We've seen dead people obey him before. You know, for us, again, death is the end. It's the worst thing that could possibly happen. It is not the worst thing Jesus thinks could happen. Dead, alive, those are the same to him. He sees everything, knows everything. God lives in eternity. Everyone is alive to God. And he speaks to them as if they were, and they obey him, and they are. Exactly what Jesus said would happen, happens. Lazarus is alive, and wow, all the attention is on him. Look at the next couple verses. We didn't read them, but verse 45, many of the Jews who'd come to visit and saw what he did believed in him. Verse 46, but, and that ends up in verse 53. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. All the attention is on Jesus, totally and completely. Some people love him and believe him. They trust him. They have confidence in him. And some people hate him and want him dead. But all the attention is on Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it does not take a lot to see how this applies to us, because I guarantee every single person in this room has stories like this. We all have places in our lives. We all have prayers in our lives when we ask God to do things and he didn't do them. How could God let their brother die? And John says he did that because he loved them, because they needed something that he was going to provide through the death of their brother. I think Martha needed to have that crisis of faith, talk to him about it, and come out the other side and know even though my brother died, I still believe this. It's still true. I will still get in that wheelbarrow. And Mary needed to know, even though my brother died, Jesus still loves me. He hasn't abandoned me. He hasn't turned his back on us. He still loves us, even though this terrible thing has happened. None of that comes out if Jesus just heals Lazarus right at the beginning. Oh, but we so desperately want him to heal right at the beginning, don't we? We so desperately want him to answer our prayers right away. And because he loved them, he didn't. Every single one of us in this room has got a story like this, probably multiple. Prayers we prayed, and God didn't answer. Things that we yelled back at him, how could you do this? How could you allow this? Why? And we need to remember what he is doing. He is bringing all the attention on himself because that is what every person on this planet needs. Everyone on this planet needs to be looking at Jesus. If you are Christ's follower, you need to be looking at Jesus. If you're not his follower, you definitely need to be looking at Jesus. Turn to him and believe, he says. St. Augustine said most of the problems in our life, maybe all the problems in our life, come because of what he called disordered loves. We have all these things that we care about, family, friends, occupation, home, work, life. And Augustine says, they're all good. They're not bad things. But when they become the ultimate thing, when your family becomes the ultimate thing you pay attention to, it becomes the most important thing in your life. When your job becomes the most important thing in your life. When your home becomes the most important thing in life. Whatever it is, if anything other than Jesus is the most important thing in your life, then all your priorities are out of whack. All your loves are disordered. And you get yourself into all sorts of terrible situations. If your eyes are focused on Christ, if he is at the center of everything, then all those other loves can still be loves. They're all good things. They're all things that are important, but they order themselves properly. If he is the central thing, if he gets the glory, if he has your attention, then he will arrange everything else the way it should be. And the times you should spend with family, you'll spend with family. The times you should spend with work, you'll spend with work. And the times you should do this, you'll do it. And he will arrange those things because we all know people, and we've probably been those people who spent too much time on work. Anybody know anyone who's made their kids their lives? Like that's it? The center of their lives is their children? What happens? Wow, it's bad for them and it's bad for their kids. Jesus has to be. He has to get all the glory. He has to be the center of attention. And then all those other good things line up properly. And that's what he's doing for Mary and Martha in this passage. But the only way he can do it is that their brother die. He says, this will not end with Lazarus dead. And that is a true statement. Lazarus is not dead at the end. But we had to go through death to get there. Can I suggest to you, if you are in this situation, for all those places where you have prayed and prayed and God has not acted, all those places where you say to God, why? If you love me, why? You're in the middle of this story. You're just not at the end yet. Like we get to read to the end. We know that Jesus does love them. He is doing good for them. His disciples have confidence and trust in him because of what they see. Martha gets her faith renewed. Mary gets her hope and her love renewed. That he gives people what they need. They get there. But you have to go through death. And that's, brothers and sisters, that's what he does for us. He didn't forgive us by waving his hands and saying, all right, fine, it's all forgiven. We'll just pretend. He goes through death to life. For us. And sometimes we have to do the same. If you are feeling what Mary and Martha felt, Lord, if you had been here, if you had cared, if you had acted, this wouldn't have happened. You're just not at the end of the story yet. It's coming. We know how the story ends. He tells them how at the beginning of this story how it's going to end. And we know how the story ends. The scriptures tell us Jesus wins. He returns. He sets all things right. Everything is restored and renewed. We're just not at the end of that story yet. It's coming. But we're still back in the 4 days. For 4 days, Lazarus was dead and Jesus hadn't shown up yet. I suspect some of you are there. I know all of us have been there. You will be again. There are places in this dreadfully fallen world where Jesus has to work through death. And he had to do that for these sisters. He had to do that for his disciples. I'm glad I wasn't there when he died, Jesus says, because this is going to give you confidence in me. Me letting this man die is going to give you confidence in me. That is completely opposite anything that makes sense. But we watch it happen in this story. If you are in the middle of this, remind yourself, I'm in the middle of this. I'm not at the end. It isn't going to be like this forever. This isn't just going to keep going on and on and on. I'm in the 4 days. But after day 4, Jesus shows up and sets everything right. I'm going to pray for us, as I always do. I'm going to close by praying. And when I finish praying, I'm not going to say amen. We're just going to be quiet, so that you can pray as well. If you are in the middle of this, right? Wow, tell God, what are you doing? I mean, do just what they do, right? If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He doesn't get mad at either of them. He gives them what they need. He meets them where they are. Wow, if you need to yell at God and tell him, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Tell him. He's a big boy. He can handle it. He'll meet you in that. Remind yourself, this is the middle, not the end. I'm not at the end. Remind yourself that Jesus loves you, that he is at work for good, that anything he has allowed, which is harmful and painful, is because there is something better that he is working on, just like for these ladies. But you don't see it until he shows up and does it. And wow, I bet those were 4 long days. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to be quiet for 60 seconds and let you pray and let you say to him what you need to say. Let you remind yourself, I'm in the middle. I'm not at the end. We know the end. Jesus shows up and brings everything back to life. Jesus shows up and renews everything. If you're in the middle, remind yourself, I'm not at the end. I'm at the middle. Jesus is at work. He's at work to renew your faith. He's at work to renew your hope. He's at work to renew your love. I don't know what he's doing. Again, it's different for different people. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to be quiet. And then when I do say amen, we're going to go right into taking communion. So just get up, go to any of the 4 stations there in the corner or the 2 that are closer here. Get the bread, get the cup, bring it back to your seat. And again, that whole time, be talking to him. See what he has to say. See if his spirit has anything to say to you. He had things to say to these women. He met them where they were. See if he meets you where you are. Let's pray. And Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Even though, wow, this is a hard kindness. I don't like the kindness where you don't answer my prayers, where you let the things I care about die. I know I have raged at you, that you have let things die that were so, so important to me. And yet, I can admit for many of them that you brought good out of it. You brought good out of it that never would have come otherwise. I mean, that's what you say in Romans, that you will bring good out of everything. So Jesus, I pray for us. I pray especially for my brothers and sisters who are in those 4 long, terrible days. When their brother has died and you have not shown up. You've not shown up because you love them. Because something needs to happen in those 4 days to get them ready. I don't know, but you did. Jesus, I pray for us, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us about all the things that you have let die, all the horrible things that have gone on. Scripture says to thank you for everything. And we confess, Lord, that is hard. So I pray, Holy Spirit, now, as we sit in silence for a minute, as we talk to you, Jesus, talk to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us. For those of us who need to be reminded to believe, remind us. For those who need to be reminded that you love us, remind us. For those who need our hope and our faith and our love restored, restore us, renew us. Jesus, meet us here. Jesus, thank you for all the things I do not understand. Thank you for all the times that because you loved me, you did not answer my prayers. All the ones I now understand, and thank you for all the ones I don't. Because your word says to thank you for everything. Because everything you do is good. Even in the midst of those four long, terrible days, when Lazarus has died and you have not shown up. Thank you that you will. You promise that. Holy Spirit, as we take communion, as we do what you told us to do, Jesus, to remember, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us, remind us, renew us. We ask all this in your name. Amen.